Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
More now on the Hawala system that allegedly connects those arrested with a Times Square bomb suspect, the money trail of sorts, which officials followed as part of their investigation. Matthew Levitt is an expert in tracking down terrorists via financial relationships. He's worked for the FBI, focused on fundraising and logistical support used by Middle East terror groups. Currently, he directs the Stein Program on Counterterrorism and Intelligence at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. And he joins us now during morning edition. Matt Levitt, good morning and thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Matt, let me ask you first of all, how significant are these arrests and the raid yesterday in terms of the broader investigation into the Times Square plot, at least as we know it this morning?
Well, we know is limited, but there's no question it's an important part of the investigation. From the 1993 World Trade Center plots on through 9/11 and many other plots, the following of the money has been critical to being able to figure out who's involved in a plot. You can follow the money up and down the financial pipeline, and it can lead you to people who not only provided the funds but were intrinsic in directing the bomber.
Let's talk about Hawala. As Sonari explained it a moment ago, Hawala is an informal system of money transfers. According to various media reports this morning, officials say Faisal Shahad, the man suspected in the failed Times Square plot, used it to finance his plan. Explain how the system would work and who are the quote-unquote intermediaries Sonari mentioned.
There'll be someone here in the United States, for example, who wants to move money to Pakistan, and they'll find a Hawala dealer or a Hawala dar who will facilitate that transaction. And at some point, that Hawala dealer in Pakistan will have a customer who wants to send money here, and the Hawala dealer here in the United States will reciprocate, and over time, their accounts will balance. So no money actually moves, not through the formal or any informal financial system. What actually moves is communication, and they pay out through pots of money here and pots of money there.
Investigators started looking into Shahzad's finances soon after he was arrested about 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said investigators believe that the men arrested, including the two in Massachusetts, were part of Shahzad's Hawala. A state official here in Massachusetts says there's a connection, but it's not clear. The men here would have known where the money would end up. How is that possible? Is it part of compartmentalizing information within these organizations?
Well, certainly true. The groups like these compartmentalize information for operational security. But here it's much more likely just that the way the Hawala network works, or networks work, is that you're just doing a transfer for somebody. And the vast majority, 99.9% of transfers that go through the Hawala system are perfectly legitimate. In the United States and other countries, Hawalas are required to be registered. And so operating an unregistered Hawala is illegal. But the purposes of these transfers are not themselves illicit. And so it's very likely that someone was facilitating a Hawala transfer for an individual who ended up being involved in something bad, maybe even the Times Square bombing, and had no idea.
You've tracked people down through their finances. What's the process you use? Where do you start? What resources do you tap?
Well, it's slow and painful. In a case like this, obviously, it'll start with the interrogation of the suspect. If the suspect is cooperating, he'll provide you leads to other individuals that he was involved with, including people like these Hawala dealers. And then you go the next step, and you're looking for documents, you're looking for phone records, you're looking for bank records, computer records. And there are databases sometimes that you can bounce information that you obtain off of. And the investigation can move very, very quickly. And if you look in this case, you know, it took 50-something hours for them to find the suspect. And now it's going to take a little bit more than that to completely flush out all of the system that he used to accomplish his attack. And like you said, some of those people will turn out to be, you know, knowing and witting, and some of them not.
Unwitting.
Exactly.
There's very little government regulation, as I understand it, of this practice, the Hawala practice. How can U.S. officials keep track of the money trail if it's unregulated and keeps changing?
Well, there are a variety of different ways to do this. You know, if you're moving money through the formal banking system, obviously it's a lot easier, though it's still not easy to follow and track the money, but you have good partners in the private sector who want to make sure that the banking system maintains its integrity. When people move money through informal networks, you can work by trying to register people who are providing these transactions, because the reality is this is a means of moving money internationally. And there are other ways. You can recruit sources to get information from some of these networks that you suspect are up to no good.
Matt Levitt, former FBI counterterrorism intelligence analyst, thank you very much.
My pleasure.